The gospel reading this morning is from the 9th chapter of Mark and begins with the 2nd verse. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came down from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The gospel of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to Christ. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Just prior to the transfiguration experience, which we just read from Mark, Jesus began to tell his disciples about his impending death and that he must suffer many things and be rejected. On their walk through the countryside, he had told them of the coming passion and death, and that after 3 days, he would rise again. His disciples didn't want to hear about that. And Peter especially spoke up, if you remember, and objected to his suffering and dying. These were difficult teachings, and the disciples may have felt confused and even depressed by all that Jesus was trying to tell them. They couldn't grasp it because they were thinking in human terms, and he was trying to get them to understand about that which was happening in the light of eternity. Many of us still have that same problem. We try to think in human terms, not in the light of the eternal God. And 6 days afterward, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain to pray. During the night, before their very eyes, something happened. The very appearance of Jesus started to change. And at that moment, they knew that it really was Jesus, because they watched the transformation as it happened. Previously dressed in a dull robe, normal for that day and his status, it was dusty. He was now wearing a gleaming white and glistening robe. He became dazzling white, whiter than anyone could bleach it. His face shone with the glory of the Lord. Luke's account says that his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Matthew describes the transformation as his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. It's hard to imagine such an experience. Scripture says it was a good experience, but it was also frightening to them. Let us look at the purpose of this experience for the 3 disciples. And the purpose of this change, this transfiguration for us today. Why would there have been such an experience in the first place? And why only these 3 disciples? Why not the others also? And what does it say to us today? This is the second time the Lord took these disciples into a special time with him. Peter, James, and John were the three that were often called, or are often called, the inner circle of the group of 12. And they were among the first to hear Jesus' call. But even with the biblical knowledge that we have, it's reasonable to ask, why these three? First, I think that we need to remember that these three had leadership roles in the ministry of Jesus. Secondly, at least from time to time, each of them had shown an understanding of who Jesus really was. And lastly, these three were the only disciples present at certain healings and other physical signs of Christ's divinity. The truth I see is that they were knowledgeable leaders who had faith, and the transfiguration revealed Christ's divine nature to them in a dramatic way. The disciples could not be powerful witnesses until they had grasped the truth, and neither can we. You have to grasp the truth. Disciples had to see with their own eyes the divine side of Jesus. The transfiguration that took place in his appearance showed them that he was no ordinary man. We have to know that Jesus was all powerful and had all authority. That's what gives power and authority to our prayers. It gives power and authority to our witness. The change took place gradually before their very eyes, and it started from the inside out. What they saw on that night could help them understand what happened after the resurrection. Read from 1 John. First chapter, the first two verses. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. It was Peter, James, and John who were eyewitnesses to bear record to Jesus in the world. They could say, I saw it with my own eyes. I saw the one who came from heaven. I know what I speak of. Peter made his statement in 2 Peter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. And it was John who survived them all and told of seeing his glory. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. I'm going to tell a true story. This is not a made-up story for an illustration. True story. But I have to warn you ahead of time, it comes from California. There was a 33-year-old truck driver a few years ago, and you may have heard it in the news. His name was Larry Walters. He was sitting in his backyard one day, just looking up at the clouds and wishing he could fly. As long as he could remember, he had wanted to fly. But he never had the time or money or the opportunity to be a pilot. Hang gliding was out because there were no good places within a reasonable distance of where he lived. So he spent a lot of Sunday afternoons or weekend afternoons sitting in his backyards looking at the clouds and the sky with all of those images and imagination running through his head about being able to fly. But one afternoon, he got a great idea. He says, if I go down and get some helium and fill up a bunch of balloons and tie them to my lawn chair, I can fly. So he went down and he got some of the larger weather balloons that were surplus at the surplus store. He got his big canister of helium, tied his chair to the ground, and began to fill those balloons up. Now he had a CB radio in his lap, a little portable, and he had a BB gun. He says, I can shoot those balloons when I need to come back down. He cut the rope, and sure enough, the lawn chair began to rise. Well, in his imagination, he was going to be about 200 feet above the neighborhood and glide around till he decided to pop a balloon or two, whatever it took. He reached a height of 11,000 feet, verified by the airport that was near there. Actually, it's Los Angeles International. When he was asked by the press why he did it, Larry answered, well, you can't just sit there. Then they asked him, weren't you scared? And he said, yes, but wonderfully so. You know, Larry Walters will never be the same again after his trip to the mountain. That was a high mountain in his lawn chair. He has seen and felt things and knows the shape of the earth in a way that only a few experience. And he'll remember that for the rest of his life. And as we live our lives among people who are not yet believers, we have to have a Christian experience that has changed our life, so that we say, yes, this happened to me. It has to be real. We have to have an experience, a change from the inside out. We are a new creation because of the work that Christ is doing in our lives. Scripture says we are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of God. We can tell people, I know who Jesus is. We can tell them that he's God. And we have experienced the transformation that the Lord brings. You should be able to recall things you have experienced in your life that have changed you from the inside out. Things that you knew had to be the work of the Lord and not of yourself. On the mountain, Jesus gave these three disciples just a temporary glimpse of his divine nature. What he had was like before he came to earth to be in the form of man. His appearance was changed temporarily into the form of a heavenly being. It was just a momentary manifestation of his glory and the power of the kingdom to come. The transfiguration is an anticipation and a guarantee of the second coming of Christ. At his second coming, we will see the full power of his kingdom. We pray each Sunday, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when his kingdom has fully come, we will see Jesus in his godly majesty. These three disciples were given just a glimpse of the divine nature, because his mission was not accomplished yet. Just a glimpse. He gave them just a glimpse of his glory to show them that his suffering was voluntary, that he had humbled himself and become obedient unto death. He wanted to prevent the offense of the cross from confusing them and us as to who he was and what he was doing for humankind. They were to keep what they saw on the mountain to themselves until after the resurrection. Why? It would complete the proof of the resurrection. This transfiguration would be told among the rest, along rest of the evidence by the disciples. He didn't want them to boast prematurely. He didn't want them to get puffed up about having a special privilege that the others didn't have, about knowing Christ. Do you ever see that in humans today? I get puffed up because I know Christ, and I'm going to let you know about it. I'm going to pass judgment on you, and I'm going to tell you what you have to do to know Christ. Don't get puffed up. Another thing that happened on the mountain was the appearance of two Old Testament figures, Moses. Moses, who represents the law of God. And Elijah, who represents all the prophets, the words of the prophets. Their appearance shows the fulfillment of both the Old Testament law and the prophetic promises. It shows that the suffering of the Messiah was not contrary to the Old Testament revelation, but agreed with the testimony of the law and of the prophets, of which these two represented. Then a cloud overshadowed him, the great Shekinah of God, God's very presence. And God spoke, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." At his baptism, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On this occasion, the words were added, "Hear him." Are we always hearing him today? Are we doing what he says to do? Matthew's account says, "They were afraid and fell on their faces. Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and do not be afraid.'" Even in his glory, Jesus was approachable. In his glory, Jesus was not inaccessible and did not make them keep their distance from him. Believers today have the same access to him when we pray. He does not make us keep our distance. Hebrews says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. The transfiguration shows us that we have this privilege to take our needs to him in spite of our humanness, and in spite of our limitations. But are we doing it? When you pray, you have to. And I do this too. I remember this scripture, and I know that I'm not holding God all too high, that I'm approaching Christ as a friend and a brother. So I can ask the way I would ask a friend and a brother. Remember to pray, just not for others, but for yourself also. Then the vision appeared, and only Jesus remained with the three disciples. He was not transfigured anymore, but he looked like he did earlier. One time, a brilliant, very brilliant magician was performing on a ocean liner, a cruise ship. You know, they have shows in the evening, and everybody comes out of their cabin and comes down to the show. But he had a parrot. It was the captain's parrot. So he couldn't do too much about it. But it would always be there. The captain put it on the stage with him when he did his show. And every time he finished a trick, the parrot would say, "It's a trick. He's a phony. It's just a trick." Then one evening during a storm, the ship sank while the magician was performing his act. And as luck would have it, the magician and the parrot ended up in the same lifeboat. And for several days they sat there and just glared at each other. Finally the parrot said, "Okay, I give up. What did you do with the ship?" It was just too much for him to comprehend. The disciples probably didn't know what to make of the transfiguration. It was real, but at that point, they hadn't quite figured it out. Today, we don't have to go to great lengths to try to figure out the things of God. We just have to accept by faith and understanding that it did make a difference in their lives. What difference did this day make in their lives? What difference does it make in our lives today? It should make a big difference. And in the way we live our lives, and in the way we approach Him for our needs and the needs of others. The transfiguration shows us Jesus' divine nature, His power, and His authority. We can live a life that overcomes all adversity because of God's love and Christ's sacrifice. It shows us that we are not trying to do things with our own power. We have the divinity of Christ to help us. The disciples not only saw it with their own eyes, but experienced it. And our Christian experience is something that must change us from the inside out. It must be experienced. And we learn that Jesus is approachable. He does not distance Himself from us in our human experiences. We can always go boldly before His throne. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.